Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence and my soon-to-be-released book, The Living Spirit. Today I welcome Gary Quinn, author of The Yes Frequency, Master a Positive Belief System, and Achieve Mindfulness. He is the author of Angel Awakenings, Living in the Spiritual Zone, and May the Angels Be With You. He is the founder of Touchstone for Life Coaching and the Angelic Intervention Coaching Program. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Cheryl. How are you?
Good, good. As listeners of this show know, each guest and author share their wonderful insights into understanding the possibilities for creating and manifesting our best life through the self-investigation of our inner resources or wisdom and the mastery of our energetic impulses and emotions. In other words, exploring, mastering, and implementing the universal laws of energy in our lives bring us greater success in handling everyday life issues. In today's episode, you and I will share ideas and processes that are known to work for the manifestation of goals and for a healthy life journey. Gary, you are a successful life coach, television host, and producer, and you are living the deeply insightful workable skills. The ultimate goal for success is in reinventing oneself and accessing creativity, passion, and intuition. And it takes responsibility, self-responsibility, and courage. Tell us something about your earlier life and any experiences or people who may have been instrumental in your finding your interests and your life work.
Well, I think, in any kind of searching for the truth, it's more about, taking action, but it's really finding more awareness about yourself and looking at it from, the past is what got you here, so you can't be angry about the past or you can't be, still living in the past. So, I've always been very positive as far as being able to see things as being, a positivity in every way as opposed to a negative, because I grew up training for the Olympics as a swimmer. So my mindset was always, you go back in the pool and you work harder. You've got to be a team player, but you also have to be able to focus on what's working and what's the adjustment that you might have to make that can move you into, your future of how you want to be and how you want to see yourself kind of maneuver the future.
Yeah, to honor your own integrity and inner wisdom. So, yeah, we want to be aware of our potential and the people around us who help us, but we also always have to get back to our own interests without the outside world taking away and distracting us too much. And I would think that's what makes champions, that they have that ability to focus on their own inner wisdom and their soul.
Absolutely.
Energy.
So I entered this work because I was doing, I was doing a lot of work in the entertainment world, and I found another place where fear was running rampant.
Oh, I'm sure.
Everybody's worried about, are you going to steal their ideas, all this kind of stuff. So there was always this kind of dog-eat-dog, and so I just figured, well, I need to start working on this, and in hindsight, it was just actually the best thing because it was where I needed to be at the right place at the right time.
Well, I'm glad you saw that mentality because people like us are working overtime to help people see that that's not the right approach for our spirit and our soul. Success doesn't come from being better than anyone else. It comes from being our best self and the example for how to live a life in truth. And I, Gary, I often have coincidences with my guests that are very enjoyable and also instructional. So when I saw the title of your book, it appealed to me because it reminded me of one of the first messages that I received from a medium when I began my own investigation into spiritual healing and communication from other dimensions or the beyond the veil or whatever people call it. I just see it, information from souls, wherever they are, either in a physical body or just as energy. So this medium said to me that my mother, who had recently passed, said that very often I was unable to do something. I thought I was unable to do something. So when asked, I would say no instead of yes. And, you know, as this medium said this to me, I could almost hear myself saying exactly that. And I realized in that moment it was often due to fear, or perhaps it was something new, and I was still afraid of change. And as a result, I missed many opportunities. So my mother said to me that she wanted me to say yes now. And as a result, when the opportunity came to do this show, Healing From Within, I had a slight hesitation. I didn't think it might be the right time. But I remembered my mother's message, and I pushed past this comfort zone to say yes. And I'm encouraging people to start to say that when they're offered an opportunity, because they'll never know what they're missing and have the growth they're entitled to and happiness and joy by trying something new. So here we are 4 years later, and we're talking about the importance of the yes frequency for transformation and change. So Gary, please tell us why you wrote this book.
I always, I've been able to teach by the yes frequency. I've been able to manifest teaching all over the world in different countries. And every country I went to, from Switzerland to Germany to Italy to France to England to Japan, Canada, all over the U.S., I found that people were looking for a fast fix, and they wanted to change but didn't know how. I was teaching in Germany about 5 years ago, and Germany's always like a heavy country. It's always very difficult to work there, and I walked into this hotel where I was teaching, and there was a group of about 60 people, 70 people, and I walked in, and I immediately felt the energy so heavy and down, and I just said, oh my goodness, how am I going to teach this group tonight? So I just basically asked Spirit to say, what am I supposed to say to these people? Before I start, I heard this little voice inside say, have them stand up and repeat yes 200 times. Hold their hands out to the ceiling like they're receiving and just stand up and repeat yes. So I made them do that. And I had a client in the back of the room who was this well-known actor who was surprising me, and I didn't know he was there. And he came up to me after that little exercise, and he said, oh, my goodness, he said, did you see what happened to the people? And I said, well, yeah, I noticed they changed. They got a little happier. He said, no, they're all smiling. And so from a two-hour session of the talk, it became a two-and-a-half, three-hour session, and that was the birth of the word yes. And then I started testing it in other countries, and it only works in English. It doesn't work in another language.
So there's a vibration to the word yes, just like there's a vibration to the word om, which when repeated
yes.
is setting up a mantra, and it's lifting a person's energy level so that some of the negativity and fear is being released. And that's exactly what the yes frequency is. It's a vibration, and it dictates how the universe perceives our intentions, and it raises us up to a level of feeling joyful. And that's what you were feeling when you walked into that audience. The people there were not joyful, and they were fearful, and perhaps they were angry. And countries just as families have a certain a history and they have a certain vibration. It's not the same everywhere. There are places that you go that are lighter and warmer. But anyone with this vibration that you're sharing does help to move past the mind vocabulary, and it gets to beyond judgments or attachments, and it gets to a feeling of trusting that, yes, we can do something. Yes, I can. Yes, I will. You know, yes, I am. Those are some of the terms that you use in the book that I love, because it is the way. We can't always be positive, because negative thoughts come into us every day. About 50% of our thoughts are negative. But the point is, we don't have to focus on them. We don't have to embrace them. We don't have to engage them. And we can constantly reshift and change it back to a yes vibration or frequency. Now, you told an interesting story about your early life and your trip to Paris, where you were there to do a recording, I think. Were you a singer?
I was doing singing back then. I had gone there to work in the entertainment world, and I had gotten a record contract in Paris, France, on a trip 6 months prior. So I decided, okay, I'm going to actually just go for it. And I packed up everything and sold everything and moved to France. And before I moved to France, I called the company and I said, I'm coming. Everything is okay. And they said, yes, no worries. Call us when you arrive. So I arrived in Paris. I stayed with a friend who had this apartment of his for only 3 weeks, because he was subletting it. So I could stay there for free. And I said, okay, I'm going to, turn this around. And I arrived there and thinking everything's going to be wonderful. And, I called the company after 3 days and I said, I'm here. When do we start? And he basically said, well, we have some news. Unfortunately, there's not going to be any record label contract for you. And I go, what? And he said, yeah, the company has decided to close that division. And, we're just basically going to say goodbye. And I go, wait a minute. I said, I have a contract with you. And they basically said, sue us. I just freaked out and I go, what am I doing here?
No money, no place to stay.
Yeah, I had another 2 weeks to live.
No way home.
And so something said, go to Notre Dame Cathedral. I only knew two people that lived in France. In Paris, and so I would go there every day for at least 2.5 weeks, whatever I had left there, and I would sit there for hours just waiting for an answer. But if I look back, it was almost a way of meditation, of learning how to quiet the mind and learning how to kind of just not get stuck in all the daily stuff. And so after the third week, it was a Thursday afternoon, it was almost the third week, and about 3:00 in the afternoon, I was sitting in the same pew that I always did, and lo and behold, this energy came out of the ceiling, and I stood up, and it was almost like time was frozen, and I basically couldn't move, I couldn't talk, and this energy came at me and shined on me and just kind of bathed me in this light. And I said telepathically, I said, who are you? And this voice said, I am Archangel Michael, and you're not here to work in the entertainment business. You're here to learn about us. And I'm like,
spirit.
Oh, well, yeah. And so I basically was like going, okay, I've really lost my mind now. And I just basically just kind of froze, and I just said, okay, look, I don't know anything. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just help me. And the voice said, okay, and then the light started going away, and then people started coming back in the area where I was sitting, and I walked up, walking back to my apartment, and I was like going, did that just happen, or was that a dream, or was it?
I believe you were intuitive when you were younger, right?
Yes. Well, I was there. I was always, I sensed things, but I didn't know about angels.
Right. And I'm the same way. I also, as a child, had certain experiences, but I just always just chalked it off to coincidences and or whatever. And I was always following the little guidance, but I thought it was my own intelligence, hard work, and wisdom that was leading. But there were always guidance from higher souls around us. And we sensed something, but we just couldn't put the pieces together. I've had many guests on the show who have also relayed stories about Archangel Michael. And I believe certain people, perhaps from certain soul groups, are working with the energies of certain guides in spirit and of following a certain path to do the work we're doing right now and talking just the way we're talking right now. So, in other words, you had trust that you were there to experience that, and that it was going to give you a path forward to develop whatever abilities you wanted to develop, and they were going to help you. Is that so?
Yep. And so after that happened, magically everything fell into place. I had a telephone call from the one person I knew, and they offered me a free place to live if I house sit for these people for a year. It was like everything just, after that transmission, everything just like went magically the way angels work. And so from that, my whole year living in Paris was quite magical and quite amazing. And I basically learned about many things, and my psychic development was reenacted or reactivated rather, and I really just started
probably not only reactivated, it was already there. I think you told the story when you were 8 years old, you sensed a child in your friend or a child in your class seemed to be moving fast or fading or you sense that they didn't have long
they
to live.
They weren't going to live long.
An experience like that, too, in my school. And one day the person wasn't in the seat next to me. And, I could never understand when they said, well, he died. Because I really never thought of death. Because I just knew that everyone was always around. I just couldn't grasp that concept, because the truth is that there really is no death, only transformation of our essence or energy beyond the body. And I knew that as a child, though I couldn't express it or explain it the way I can now with many years of experience. But so you had that ability. It was just heightened at this point in your development so that you could go on and work at a different level.
I think that would be it.
So, Gary, you say that the core yes codes are the foundation on which we have to build our personal mission statement to clarify our values and our beliefs. I call those values and beliefs our sense of integrity or our inner wisdom or intuition. Now, can you tell us some of the core yes codes? I started to say something about it earlier, but you can clarify it here for us. How do we start to use that word yes?
Well, once we start to use the word yes, you have to start to, first of all, before you can even do that, you have to look within yourself to see, am I holding any kind of resentment or any kind of anger with anybody or anything? Because what happens is that if you are holding all this bad stuff, you're not going to be able to process anything or absorb any positivity because your closets are so full. Your files in your subconscious.
Too much baggage, as they say.
Yes, yes. So you have to look at that, make a list of the things that you're still holding on to that are things that caused you great shame, things that caused you anger, things that someone in your family said you were never going to achieve anything. Or, I mean, you'd be surprised at how many family members really don't support kids. I mean, I'm very aware that
many of my shows have focused on parenting and I believe teachers and parents, anyone who is a role model for children, need to really have more training in how they should relate to children, because children are very pure souls and they have a great deal of wisdom. And when I hear a parent say, oh, you don't know anything about that, you'll just do what I say, I really find myself vibrating. It's painful for me to hear people talk. I was a teacher, an elementary school teacher. And, of course, at the time when I started, I was 20 years old. I didn't know what I know now. And we have to educate people to know that they have to allow the children to find their own way. They have a destiny and a path, and it may have nothing to do with what the parent feels is right. Now, I think you were allowed to do that. You were allowed to develop...
Yeah.
Swimming, you were allowed to develop your mediumship, you were allowed to develop your singing at the time, and I had parents who allowed me also pretty much to explore and say yes to jobs or opportunities. I didn't always say yes because I had some fear, but now I say yes to everything. So let's go on. There was an interesting story. You write that over the years, our highest values may change, but if we choose a value that is out of balance with our true selves, we can be pulled away from our best life or our mission, our life mission. And you tell the story of one of your clients whose highest focus was money. Now, so many people around us are focused on materialism. What can you say about this woman and what she thought and how it evolved?
A lot of people, you know, get into the work and not know that, you know, money is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, they set a goal that they want to make a lot of money, they want to be millionaires, but yet they don't do anything to balance it so that they have a buffer to know that, okay, that's great. And I'm not saying if you're spiritual that you have to be poor.
No.
There's a flow. There's a give and take. It's energy. So if someone says, I want to be rich and you know, I have all this money. Well, what I found is, you know, a lot of people who are super wealthy are in more fear because they are freaked out about having to lose their money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no faith, there's no trust, because they never built trust, faith, or love or joy. They always bought it.
Mm-hmm.
So they never had to work for it in the way of learning themselves by trial and error that they were really people, you know, that, you know. And it's amazing, you know, I had a lot of people in high-powered positions that were, you know, super millionaires and this and that. And when I first started doing this coaching work with them, I was always so shocked to see that they were so afraid that they were going to be found out, that they didn't know anything, or that they didn't believe in themselves. And how could they be running a company of 10,000 people every day? You know, and they were on all kinds of medications, and because the anxiety was so, you know, out of balance, because they never trusted themselves, they never believed in themselves, they never worked on any core codes, it was always the intention was I'm a millionaire or I'm a billionaire.
Well, that's,
you know, without.
Yeah, that's because they weren't truly tuned into and aligned to their inner wisdom and to the energy laws of the universe. Now, you describe the subconscious, this goes along with it. You describe the subconscious versus the conscious mind and say the subconscious mind absorbs everything like a child. So if you live in a home where there's bad music, negative images and words disrupting your thoughts, and you sleep with no break, and you're finally sent into the world, you're going to act and react like a confused walking disaster. But if you were in a home where you were receiving the yes vibration or reactions, good reactions for your thoughts and actions, and receiving positive affirmations, sharing good energy, good music, stunning images, comfortable surroundings, healthy food, and cozy sleeping quarters, then when you go outside of that environment, you can be retrained. Miracles can happen because you possess this power to live inside a healthy brain and self. And that's what you were just saying. People who are not doing this, who are living in fear, anxiety, negativity, and doubt, and not enjoying their lives, are not creating the yes environment. So what's really holding a person back from reaching this healthy state? There's only one thing really holding them back. Would you tell us what you think it is?
Sure. Most of it is that they're not trusting themselves, or they're not trusting life. They're not trusting the universe. They're not trusting anything. You know, they're too busy worrying about the future. How much money am I going to make? You know, what can I do to keep the money? And, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to, lose, everything. And they're not going to know why.
Of it is that they are following old patterns or beliefs and behaviors that started for them as children. And it takes deep work and observation to see that you're not having a good reaction. It's like fear can be seen as an acronym standing for false evidence appearing real. They're seeing something as real, and they're not allowing themselves to move past that fear, so they stay stuck and limited. So we want people to begin to move past these fears, because most fears are benign and they've been simply blown out of proportion. And we want them to start realizing who they are, beautiful divine soul beings who have the potential and the opportunities to really create a good life. So I want to thank you, Gary Quinn, author of The Yes Frequency, for joining us today and sharing your new book, which is filled with practical and insightful strategies for breaking old habits and becoming more successful in living in a positive vibrational energy that allows us to access inner power, creativity, and intuition. To purchase this book, go to GaryQuinn.tv. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Gary and I have tried to share ways to look beyond the past, to be present in this moment, and to create with the help of surrounding universal energies, guides, angels, and to create our life, our magnificent life experience, for the formation of a world brimming with fine possibilities for growth, love, and expanding creation. Gary shares a view that I believe in, and he writes, when your thoughts are sparkled by positive thinking and uphold your inner values, this creates an invisible intention that will dictate your future. Your values create your destiny. I say, you are indeed what you think. Let us remember our divine essence and the beauty of each soul so we can correct any wrong thinking, judgment, sense of loss or blame that haunts our actions, and then boldly go forward into the higher vibration of love. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I welcome you to join us on my website, cherylglick.com, webtalkradio.net, and dreamvision7radio.com to hear leaders and authors from many walks of life share their views for achieving a greater understanding of our motivations and choices so we may improve our lives and then improve our communities by higher awareness and greater action. Thank you.